Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Now, that is not the only place in the Old Testament that the Bible says that God calms the winds and the waves.
Maybe it was a storm in your life that first introduced you to Jesus, a storm that caused you to call out to Him like never before. When Jesus calmed the literal wind and waves, the disciples knew Jesus was God. With part two of our study on Jesus and His power to not only get us through the storm, but to strengthen our faith in the process. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more out of Luke 8, 22 through 26.
Why is there a storm in your life? Jesus said, be muzzled, using the word in Mark that is used for that. So some have suggested that it's a satanic storm, that Jesus is on his way to the Gadareans, and there he's going to cast out a legion of demons from one man. The second option is that it's just a storm. And sometimes storms just happen because we're part of humanity. The third option is that God sent the storm. Which one was it? Well, we don't know. I think sometimes the enemy is attacking us. Sometimes God is disciplining us. Sometimes God wants to build our character. God does that through hard times and difficulties. The Bible tells us, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. So sometimes God tests our faith with difficulties and hard times. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes things are just happening to us. But whatever the case is, in the midst of the storm, we put our trust in what He said. Now, you and I have not been given this promise, and this is where people make the wrong application. He said to them, get in the boat and go to the other side. He's not saying to us, by saying that to them, I'm going to take you through this storm. Some perish in the storm. Some Christians perish in the storm. We're all going to die of something. And so the promise that we're going to go to the other side, we're going to go to the other side, meaning heaven. That's true. But you can't take this promise and apply it. And a lot of that happens. There's a lot of promises that God gives that are misapplied in the Bible. You want to look at the context. You want to look at who it is given to. So you're not applying the wrong promise. The second thing that people say during storms is that, well, look at, he says to them, where is your faith? So why did he rebuke them for not having faith? What should they have done? So here's what some pastors say. We're King's kids. We're given the authority of Jesus. So they should have stood up and said, wind be still. That they should have commanded the storm. And you should speak your own reality. It's kind of this new age false teaching that's out there. You should speak your own reality. If you have a cold, don't say you've got a cold. Say instead, I don't have a cold. And you're going to speak your own reality into existence, which is a bunch of nonsense, by the way. This isn't what Jesus meant when he said, where's your faith? Why? Because they couldn't have spoken to the wind and waves. Because this is unique to him. When Jesus healed people, he simply gave them a command. Why? Because he's the Word of God. Because he's God. And he says to the paralytic, pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed, take it home. That's how he healed him. Pick up your bed and take it home. I've never seen any faith healer, any person that claims to have a gift of healing that they can heal everybody, say to somebody in a wheelchair, get up out of that wheelchair, get out of here. Don't do that. That was unique to Jesus. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Jesus cast out demons with a word. Jesus said, wind, cease. He spoke to the wind, and the wind and the waves obeyed him. So this isn't what they did that was wrong in the middle of the storm. What did they do? Why did they have very little faith? The Bible says in Romans 10:10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can't have faith without the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear a promise from God, and then you trust in that promise, and that's faith. If you hear the word of God and you don't do it, that's a lack of faith. So they had gotten a specific promise from God. Get in the boat, go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Now in the middle, they think we're going to perish. You said we're going to the other side, but we're going to perish. So that unique promise, they could have trusted and said, we're going to make it to the other side. I think we could also make arguments that he's already told them what they're going to do. He's already told them about what they're going to do in the future in ministry. He's had some conversations already with them that we can look at, and they can't perish in the middle of the lake because they're not going to be able to fulfill the things that God told them to do. So we want to be able to trust in his promises. We just got to make sure that they are really his promises, that it's not some misapplied promise like many people do. Now, the third lesson here is that this is God in the flesh. The miracles of Jesus are here for that reason, to show us that he has power over storms, to show us that he has power over demons, to show us that he is able to feed and multiply supernaturally when he feeds the 5,000. All of these miracles reveal things about Jesus. And so this reveals to us that he's God. This isn't telling us that we are, and here's another false teaching, we are little gods created in his image, therefore we can do the things Jesus did. If we are little gods and Jesus is God, then we can do the things that Jesus did. That's the kind of things they'll teach. Again, maybe as polite as I can, nonsense. Why? It's going to come as a shock for some of you. Maybe not. You're not God. You're not even God with a little g. You're not. You are human who was created by God in his image, which means something really unique, but it doesn't mean you are God and that you can speak things into existence. There is a way you could use analogies where you could say you speak things into existence. When I order food in a restaurant, let me have some green chili enchiladas. Poof, there they are. I spoke them into existence. Well, not really. Not in the same way God did. So listen to Psalms 107, verse 28. It says, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. The word for Lord there is the tetragrammaton, the name of God. It's the word Yahweh. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Now, that is not the only place in the Old Testament that the Bible says that God calms the winds and the waves. But there's these Old Testament passages that God calms the wind and the waves, and then Jesus stands up to calm the wind and the waves so that we would know that this is God in the flesh. And there are many passages we could go to. We already talked about one of them in Isaiah that calls a child mighty God. We could go to Hebrews chapter 1. We could go to Revelation chapter 1, which is where I want to go to, just to kind of reinforce that Jesus is God. So Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the one who was alive and died and am alive forevermore. So there can be no mistaking that this is Jesus because he rose from the dead. He was alive. He died. He's alive forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am Almighty. Now, I pointed that out to a Jehovah Witness one time, and they said, well, it doesn't say he's Almighty God. What? I mean, at that point, you're just denying. What does Almighty mean? If I stand here today and I tell you guys, I want to tell you something about me. I am the Almighty. What am I saying? If I really meant it, I might get struck by lightning. And anybody who would know me would go, he's not. He's not the Almighty. We know when Jesus says, I am the Almighty. The same people, when I brought him to Isaiah 9:6, where it says this child would be mighty God, they said, well, it doesn't say Almighty God. I'm like, yeah, I can't win with you. With some people, they won't hear no matter what. They won't take any evidence within the scriptures. They're just going to deny. It's like their children putting their fingers in their ears and going, I don't hear you. I don't want to hear you. They don't want to believe anything that is there. The truth is that Jesus is God, and he's beginning to reveal that to them, and they are beginning to understand it, and they will write about it and talk about it in the future. Now, let me give, I've got just a few more minutes, and what I would like to do is give you guys some promises we find in the scriptures. There are many of them. There are hundreds of promises. And I would also caution you to not use the Bible like you would, what's the right word here? Don't use the Bible like you would some kind of a devotional, where you're just going to go read the verses that pop out and really mean a lot to you. In other words, when you're studying a promise, study the whole passage. See what God's saying in the bigger picture so that you really have an understanding of God's word. When I was a teenager, I was given, or I got, a Jesus Pocket Promise book by David Wilkerson. I mentioned a few years ago that I'd lost it. I tried to find it so I could bring it in and hold it up. And I'd lost it, and somebody brought me one from our bookstore. We had it up in our bookstore. We might still have them there. But I set out as a teenager to memorize all of the promises that were there. And I memorized a lot of them. I didn't memorize all of them. But I remember how even more rich the promises became when I began to study the context of those promises. When I was preparing for Bible studies, I would go, oh, there it is. There's that promise that I have memorized. And find out that it's so much richer. God's word is not just a word given to us that we can grab a few verses out of it and feel better. But it's so we can know the truth. And we find that by studying the scriptures. But let me give you a few promises that we find in the Bible that can help us out, that we can trust in, to kind of batten down the hatches and know that we can make it through. I'll give you Isaiah 40:31. You may know this. It's a very common promise. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. If you're waiting on God now, you're like, God, why don't you get busy? Why aren't you doing so? I don't know what to do. You're waiting on God. Then know that God says that during that time of waiting, he will strengthen you. Another really popular one is Matthew 11:28. We think of those who are weary, those who are brokenhearted, those who are a broken reed or a smoldering flax. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Are you heavy laden? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So that's a conditional promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Most of the promises in the Bible are conditional. There's things you have to do. Even when we saw that very specific promise to the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side, they had to get in the boat. If they said, no, I'm not going to do it, they wouldn't have gotten to the other side. So even that's conditional. So many of the promises of the Word of God are conditional. Let me give you another, just a couple, and we'll wrap it up. Philippians 4:6, again, very well-known verse. Be anxious for nothing. So when you're anxious, I'm the guy that has trouble falling asleep. I'm the guy that as soon as I hit the pillow starts thinking about things. If I've got to have a conversation, kind of a confrontational conversation with someone, I know it's got to be taken care of, I've got to do it. The first thing I do when I hit the bed is go, I'm going to say this and that. And if they say this, I'm going to say that. This is good, that. You guys do that? I'm better if I decide to have a confrontation with someone right before I do it. I might as well just call them and say, hey, listen, you said this and we need to talk about that. I'm better when I do that. But here's what it says if you are anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. So it's a command. And how do we do it? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we want to be thankful. We want to ask God. Let your request be made known to God. If you're worried about a child, if you're worried about something in your life, then you request to God, and then it gives us the promise, and the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So what do we do if we're in the midst of a storm? We find God's promises that apply, and we hang on to them, and we make it through the end of the storm. God might stop the storm. He might deliver you from the storm. He may make you ride out the storm. We don't know. Again, we don't even know where the storms come from. Let me just give you one more and we'll be done. And that is Proverbs 3:5-6. Again, great promise, but very popular. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That starts with a condition. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So when people say, well, I don't know, you can't, I don't know, I don't understand. Well, don't lean on that. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So if you're here today and you're making decisions, you're like, what do I do? What college do I go to? What town should I live in? I don't know what to do. Which job should I take? Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Pray and make decisions and trust in Him. Be confident enough to make decisions. You say, well, I'm going to throw out a fleece. You know, God, if I hit four green lights in a row, oh no, you want me to go to this college. I would suggest not to do that, by the way. I would suggest not trusting your future to lights, because God never gave you a promise. Give me a fleece and I'll answer you, right? So that's, you're not holding on to God's word there. You're just saying, I'm going to be like Gideon. So God answered Gideon with a fleece. It doesn't mean He's going to answer you with a fleece. Confession, I've used fleeces before, all right? So just a little bit of a confession. Not that I necessarily have done whatever the fleece had said that I should do, because I don't think you want to trust your future to a fleece. You want to trust your future to acknowledging God and then making a prayerful decision, believing that He's going to direct your path. I know I said that was the last one, but James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. What a great promise and what a condition. You want to be, if you feel a distance from God, you feel cold, feel like you're in a desert time in your life, then draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. I've got like four more, but I'll leave them alone. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank You so much as we take time to look at this incredible passage, that the main lesson is that You command the winds and waves because You are God. As Jesus, You are God. And we're thankful that we can see this passage, knowing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in essence and three in persons, and that we are following and serving You. And the Bible clearly teaches this. Lord, we also pray for when we're in the middle of a storm, that we might hold on to Your promises and not have a lack of faith, but know that You are working in the storm. We would just find the right promises for what we're facing, and that Your Holy Spirit would bring that to us. And help us not to misapply Scripture, but to understand it clearly. And we thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life, the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive Him, He gives the power to become a child of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, you must be born again. Think about just what He said. You must be born again. You have to be like a newborn person. The old person, this is what baptism is about. The old person goes under the water and is buried, and you are risen in the new person by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you live your life for God. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. And you say, but I like myself. I like who I am. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for My sake, you save it. By surrendering yourself to Him, you find out what God's called you to do and who you are meant to be. God created you that you would receive Him and find the fullness that comes in Christ. So if you've never given your life to Christ, you need to be intentional about it. You've got to invite Him in. Doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens because you say, I want to live for Him. So if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. I'd like to acknowledge your hands. God bless you guys in the balcony. And God bless you, sir, down here. That's great. God bless you there. I saw your hand in the balcony as well. Just raise your hand now. And if you would, just keep it up. I'd like to acknowledge your hand as you respond to Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. The idea is that God's drawing you. And if God's drawing you, don't harden your heart today, because today is the day of salvation. If you know that God's calling you, don't go, I'm going to put it off till another day. Respond today. Also, for those of you who are online, you can respond as well. That God would touch your heart. Just say to Him, I want You in my life. If you're listening on Reach Radio, you don't know what you tuned into. You've tuned into a live service where we're giving people a chance to give their lives to Christ. Just say, I want Him. I want to invite Him in. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. You may wonder why we're applauding for you, because we remember what it was like when we surrendered our lives to Christ and what God has done in our lives. Now, there's a new believers table along the wall. We have a Bible and a new believers packet we want to give you. Now that you've made a commitment to Christ, what's the next thing you do? A lot of people make commitments in church, walk out the doors, and never follow through. So in that packet is what you do to follow through with the commitment that you've made today. If you're watching online or you're here and you can't make it over to the new believers table, you can send Ready for Jesus to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. Click on that link and it will take you to our new believers card. Fill that out and we will have someone who will get in touch with you and get you the information that we need to get you. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us what God's done in your life and how he brought him to you. We'll have people who will respond to those emails and help you with what you are supposed to do next and get you whatever materials we need to help you as you get that solid start and walk for the Lord. Now, I want to do two more things. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And I want to bless you. And as I pray for you guys, I want to ask that you pray for people that you know. Because there are a lot of people you know that are in struggles and difficulties. They're going through hard times or don't know Christ or walking away, or they're brokenhearted and the Bible says God's close to them. And the Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. So as I pray for you guys, would you guys pray for the people that you know that need God to move in their lives? Because God says that he answers when we pray. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask men and women, lift your hands up. They're holy by the blood of the Lamb. Will you guys pray for the people you know as I pray for you? Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here in this room. Lord, as we call out to you for the sake of those around us who don't know you, who may be hurting and suffering, who may be dealing with a mental disorder, I want to pray for those that are here that are struggling in their lives, maybe in their marriages, maybe in their job, maybe with other relationships, maybe with addiction, maybe with pornography. Lord, you are a God that can take care of everything. You can set people free. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would set them free. I pray you would touch and you would heal. You've said, we have not because we ask not. And so we're asking boldly, as Hebrews tells us, before your throne to get help in the time of need. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking closer to Jesus this week than ever before. May you trust in his word. May you know his promises so that as you face difficulties and hardships, you can now have faith. You can say, this is happening, but God said this. And then Jesus will never say to you, where's your faith? Because you follow through with what you find in the word of God.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.